This is CliffCentral.com.
And it's our first live episode of the year of the Futurology Show. Happy 2018 to you, Mr. Sinclair.
Brett! Hey. So good to be back in studio.
Was that an orgasm?
I was touching myself.
It was a podgasm.
A podgasm.
Be prepared for a bunch of sensations you never thought you could have.
Are we alive?
We're live.
We're live. Okay. Mike, how are you doing?
Remember what this feels like.
It's been a while, guys. It's really been a while. I've actually missed the studio.
Oh, yeah? I have. It's nice, though. It's nice to be back.
It's very nice, actually.
Something special about the spice of live.
Yeah. Can you turn my earphones
on? Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I cannot hear a thing.
All right. Cool.
Cool, man.
How's that sound?
Nope.
It's a great start to 2018.
Yeah, so if you can hear us, that's a good start, all of you listeners out there. Then we're going to be talking about
Maybe we should ask G-Man if he can hear us outside there, if he can start dancing. No, he's ignoring us now. I think he's chatting up someone there.
But yeah. Cool. So, talking 2018. And the things that have changed and the things we're expecting.
I feel like we kind of slightly underprepared. We're stumbling through. So let's explain to everybody what's going on.
Ah, there we go. We found the buttons.
It's a knob.
It's a knob. There we go.
So we've just walked into studio, and it's been a while, and we've forgotten that we can fiddle with each other's knobs so that we can understand what's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
So it's really, really good back. And I think we had a fabulous year if I kind of think about Singularity University, some of the great minds that we got to speak to, Professor Steve King, and the changes that happened in 2017, what technology did. Mm. A lot of the things that we were talking about actually happened, right?
Absolutely.
And
we're not all that surprised. We're just really pleased that what we spoke about actually happened.
happened. We called a lot of things and the next day it happened.
But the nice thing about looking back at, say, 2017 was all the diversity of the technologies and the impacts that they had on how we work and live and love and earn and learn and all these things. It's the one thing that keeps coming back for me is that how moving into the future and this digital transformation, this idea of change and stuff, is that it's not all reliant on one technology.
Absolutely.
There's so much there.
Absolutely. And I think that was a critical point that came out of that Singularity conference. What was his name? David, the first speaker who spoke.
Dave Roberts, yeah.
Dave Roberts. I mean, he was absolutely incredible. And what he did say is, you know, 15 years ago, we had the exponential technology that came through. It was really the cell phone and really the internet. But now we're looking at a world where exponential technology is not the abnormal, but rather the normal. You know, we've suddenly got, you know, 15 different exponential technologies that is going to redefine things. So I think 2018 is an interesting year. You know what's quite interesting about 2018? It's 10 years since 2008.
Oh, wow. Mind blown.
So if you're a Android lover, that's when Android was launched. Screw the iPhone. That was in 2017.
Fuck the Android. I still can't get my head around Android's usability. I mean, it still sucks.
Listen,
which version of it?
One word.
Every single version of it.
One word for you.
You know Google
Sheets.
That's
just called Apple envy.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Google Sheets still hasn't worked out that it needs a spell checker, but let's move swiftly on from that. But 2008 was the year of the financial crash as well, hey?
You're like saying it as I take personal offense anymore. It's been, 3 years since I left Google.
Yeah, but you're still a...
I'm still a fucking fanboy, though.
Yeah, no, you have
totally,
to be.
Totally.
But you were saying...
No, I mean, 2008, we had the financial crash. No one predicted that. Mm. And I think, you know, this year's going to be an interesting year. It's going to be a different year. And I am not predicting anything. But, I mean, let's just step back and have a look. Let's just see what has happened.
I want to go back to 2008 because I was just thinking.
2007. Remember, let's
2007.
Because that's when the iPhone launched.
Okay, fine. Fuck it.
We can go back to 2003 when LinkedIn and MySpace launched if you really want to go back.
What's
your MySpace page?
It's called the Futurology Studio, not the Pastology, which sounds like an Italian food show.
Yeah, it does.
But think about those days. Like, I did a post on Facebook the other day asking people for a picture of that old road atlas.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Witwatersrand Rand road
atlas. Listen, what's the deal with your wife on Facebook, Bruce?
She like to take the piss out of me.
Does she still complain about the toilet seat?
Yeah, she does. Shut the fuck up, man. Mike.
I've lost my bleeper button. It's gone. I think we've run out of all the bleeps we're allowed in one show.
I thought we used that up like early stage of 2017.
Yeah, but this is 2018. We're trying to start a new year, new idea.
But you know what? Before we start looking back, just to your point around last year, I just want to say thanks to everyone who's actually listened to the show over the last year, because it literally has been a year that we've had the show. And I mean, the growth has been incredible. Mm. I mean, it's been fantastic. So, so to you guys, you've actually stuck with us. Yeah. You know, so often
why?
Yeah. I'm still wondering why.
Well, the nice thing is when they meet us in person, there's always the expectation that we're better in person than we are on the show, which is what I hope. And occasionally we can live up to it, which is nice.
Well, they certainly look at Brett and know that he's a fat guy.
Yeah. The only downside I have is that they sometimes get us confused until they meet us in person at the same time in the same place. We're like, oh, okay, cool. And people ask me about Android. I'm like, shut up. Not me.
I'm the thin bread, not the fat bread.
Yeah. Together we make the perfect 10.
Yeah, you too.
I'm the one.
Yeah. The one.
Fat boy's sweating.
Yeah.
Can we put the air conditioning on?
Totally. But you know what? I think it's important to acknowledge people who've stuck with us. I think it's been fantastic.
No, it is nice. It's incredible. It's great.
The growth has been fantastic.
I mean, we've had lots of great things that have come off the back of it as well. I mean, there's been lots of great questions and conversations that have come off the back of a lot of the shows. So while these shows might not answer everything that there is to answer in one specific topic, it definitely gets a conversation started. I don't know, you guys have started and you're all over LinkedIn on hashtag Think Digital with WTF, which sounds like a fantastic thing.
Let's help people get more digital.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think part of the show has been helping South Africans
understand
what the opportunity is in this new space, because every business will be a technology business. Sure. Right? Like we can't stress that more, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I think then, and trying to identify that there isn't really that much of a difference between a digital business and a business acting digitally anymore. This fact that we're moving together, but
absolutely
thinking digital before you do digital. Don't just rush into it with no plan and have a separate strategy to your business strategy. That means you have to change everything ridiculously. That's where the fear is.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The fear is everybody saying, "Oh, I've got digital transformation," but they're scared of the change.
I think we're all scared of change, right?
Yeah.
So I love it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're called an innovator, you know, the early stage adopters.
No,
I love change.
Yeah,
but that's a very small part of the population.
And there's the two kinds of change. There's the fast, scary change, the flick a switch, let's disrupt. Oh shit, I'm disrupted. And then there's this is the next logical step. The let's keep doing this. This is a way to iterate and prove. Mm. And optimize how we already do our business.
Absolutely.
Through the power of digital, but it's not, there's got to be this good focus. And early in the year, there's been some great articles around how business strategy and digital strategy do need to align. They need to almost be one strategy.
They do. But I think what's interesting to your point, though, is if we look at digital and business, it's kind of merged into one idea.
Yeah.
But what is different, and I think this is where people really struggle, and it comes to the idea of change, is you've got to change how you do things, because everything is different and your consumer is making a buying decision in a completely different way. And I think that's where the really big challenge sits in. You know, I wish I could, we were actually on a video, a stream here, because I've got both Bretts on either an iPad or an iPhone.
And I was getting some nice responses. It's called
ADD, another digital device. Yeah, I've got three over here. Let's go.
That's beautiful.
So hashtag what Brett said.
What Brett said, 100%. Absolutely. So talking about new ways of working, have you gotten another digital device?
Yeah. I'm looking for one.
You're looking
Apparently
for one.
My heart rate needs to be monitored constantly.
Oh, fuck, well, the moment I thought you said your hard-on needs to be monitored constantly.
Well, when I look at the bandage on his arm there, I think that's part of the problem. You know, in fact, we're going to make a little robotic
from
arm.
From all the checking, the tendonitis in your elbow builds up over
so we'll build you a robotic arm with a chatbot function in it.
Stick a Fitbit on it as well. Claim my vitality rewards for.
It'll be an enjoyable experience.
So, I mean, that's a good point.
We've reached that part of the show really early this time,
just
right?
Gone straight down.
Engaged, right?
Yeah, this is why people sometimes listen to us. It is because we're still us. And I think there's a lot of conversations that are happening. You know, the authentic nature of conversation really brings out some profound truths. A lot of people are out there trying to bullshit their way to the top. And they're saying shit that they think other people want to hear rather than the things that I think are just worth talking about.
So speakers who go up and present and all they've done is read the book.
No, but if you pretend like you don't have a hard-on in the morning or anymore, if you don't do things because of who you are.
Listen, when you get to my age, that starts becoming a reality for me.
Mike's turning 50 this year.
Yeah. And he's wearing a very apt t-shirt today. I'm not getting older, I'm becoming a classic.
I'm vintage.
I don't know if becoming is the right word there.
I am becoming.
I don't know if that, I think the transformation is complete. You're in the classic middle, you're not in the classic beginner.
At least I understand I'm still a beginner.
No, that's awesome. But the big things are the fact that we've acknowledged all these things that have changed and these things that have enhanced the way we live, love, earn, learn, all the rest, is people actually adopting it in 2018.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping to see a lot of this adoption, not just from a product perspective or a new gadget perspective, but actually from a way of working, a way of doing things.
It's a way of doing. And it's a way of thinking.
I think the best dipstick I've ever seen is you ask somebody, where's your digital team? It's a nice dipstick to figure out where you are.
They're in the cloud.
Because most people say, it's that team in the corner. Yeah. Well, then hashtag fail, man.
Yeah.
Because your whole business needs to be digital. It's the time that your CFO puts up their hands and your call center puts up your hands and your salespeople, and they go, oh, we're the digital team.
Yeah.
Then you're winning this. And if you take the far end is the digital team in the corner, and the other end is, you know, does YouTube have a digital team? No.
They are digital.
Where's your gauge? Where are you in that spectrum? And start from there.
Can I ask you a question, Brent? Yeah. Because you come out of the development world primarily. Mm. You know, and
I live in South Africa and we're a developing country.
100%.
You're forced to.
But you look at what's changed. You know, a lot of digital officers are effectively the CTO or the CIO or whatever they call themselves now.
Yes. CDO.
Yeah, but most of them don't even understand the technology. And I mean, I say this with respect because...
In broad strokes.
I mean, that you go and speak to them about cloud and it's like, yeah, I've got cloud. It's the server in the corner room there. I mean, how far have we got to go before we become digital, or how quickly are they going to become irrelevant? And it's a statement rather than a question.
I don't know, it's a good statement, right? Yeah, we've got a new philosopher.
It's rubbing off.
Yeah, it is.
So very good point. So I think 2018 is the year of no longer thinking and trying and dabbling and testing and using new devices. It is the year of do.
Yes.
This is the year where people will have to do digital. And again, so digital is so broad. It's like saying, do technology. Mm. It's fucking nuts. So for me, it's that yardstick, and it's if you're focusing on two things in the business. When your businesses start worrying about what customer problems am I solving and how quickly can I solve it, now we're changing.
Yeah.
Then we're starting to innovate. Then we're starting to do cool stuff, right?
Yeah. There's some of the excuses I'm hearing is, trying to catch up. It's such a difficulty trying to catch up.
I just don't have time.
So certain people will acknowledge the fact that we are in a digital middle. We're not waiting for it to start. It's happening. We've got these things. Mm. But it's, I have to catch up now. Now that becomes the excuse. And there are others like, now that I've caught up, it's trying to keep it going. So like, yes, I'm there, but now I've got to maintain it. Mm. The conversation is very rarely... just start. For goodness sake, just start.
And just keep going. I think a lot of people want a model that you take. I take a model that I buy from a large consultancy. I put it in. The day that that model goes live, or the day that you implement a set of fixed software, the day you put a server in, that day is the day that you're already falling behind. Mm. So you have to be adopting this continuous change on whatever systems, technologies, models, products. You are committing to a world of continuous change.
Do you think enough has happened from in the entire sort of supply chain to that will start to like now impact bigger businesses? Mm. I mean, operations, logistics and stuff are all adopted, better fleet management, tracking systems, better route mapping. Mm. Think about those kinds of things. All of those things have made deliveries and logistics on that end a lot more efficient. We're able to track vehicles right down to the telemetry system.
Container. Yeah. A container is a great form of innovation. Everyone had to change their systems to deal with this container that's floating through.
Mm.
To that point, I think the big shift in 2018 will be when we see an autonomous truck.
Mm.
Because off the back of the autonomous truck pulling into the warehouse to do its distribution, that is all automatic. So if that's automatic, you're going to need robots that are going to unload the truck and offload the truck. But then if you've got robots doing that, you're going to need robots to organize your warehouse. But if you've got robots that are organizing your warehouse, you need artificial intelligence that needs to be... You see what I mean? It just has this knock-on effect.
Yeah.
Across the entire food chain.
Yeah.
The retail space, the user experience.
But then the consumers coming thing, we're more connected. I mean, there's nothing more leveling than technology at the moment. I mean, I can have the same iPad as the President of the United States. So Donald Trump is tweeting off the same iPad that I'm using right now. There's no differential really, apart from the fact
that your tweets are similar. So.
Yeah, no, we both use ad handles, and I've got a comb over, and yeah, it's great.
I thought something had changed this year.
My wife and my hairstylist have conspired.
So we got fat orange and we got fat Brett and orange Brett.
Not orange yet.
Not orange.
I pulled out before the orange hit. So you've got everybody connected. And this, yeah. If you've got the supply chain getting better and more efficient and optimizing, and you've got a more connected, digitally aware, even more so, consumer base or retail space.
100%.
Where is the pinch point? Where's the bit in the middle? Who are the people that are going to be most affected if they don't adopt a digital transformation? And a lot of people are. I mean, the banks have done well.
Yeah. Well, actually, there is something, the people in the middle. The people in the middle is the middle office. That still accepts a fax, that still prints stuff out, that still
refer to a digital
writes
team.
Something and then types it into a computer, because that's still in the world of computerization.
Yeah.
You're using a bunch of people to use a computer to computerize a process.
Yeah.
That's the middle. That's the middle that's going to change massively this year. And when they talk about the white-collar worker becoming the blue-collar, it's those guys.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Artificial intelligence is going to rock your world. Unless you start using your brain and adding serious value in that chain.
And I think it's an interesting point, though, because it's not the change that's coming, it's the speed of change. And I think we've spoken about this quite extensively over the course of last year, because you think you're safe in your business. You think, I mean, you were sharing an article about the one-man business that is effectively a million-dollar business as a one-man business. You can start a business today, scale through technology, outsource key resources, and you can really redefine things. I mean, Brett, just on your IoT device, your beverage insights, I mean, you were telling us yesterday you've got to level three or roll
version
out
three of it,
version
yeah.
three. And just the cost implications of going from one down to
a tenth of the price at a tenth of the size.
I mean, and that hasn't taken long. How long has that taken you?
Everything was in 10. It was weird. It was the 10-month gap mark that we actually swapped it.
10 months. But I mean, that's a reality. 10 months. It changes everything.
And that's that exponential cost efficiency that they were talking about as well. So things don't necessarily have to get better, but if they get cheaper, solutions that follow them, because now it's more widely available, there are more people doing more things with it, we're all learning faster. And so it's not so much the one piece of tech, it's how you use it.
Maybe you know what I think? You know what maybe we should do is get Cyril Ramaphosa on the show here and discuss ESCOM with him and how we need to take that $66 billion and put it into renewables because of that exponential downward cost.
It needs to be cheaper, so why is my bill going up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So in fact, the demand is not keeping up at the moment. They're oversupplying the market, and yet the price is still going up.
Absolutely.
We've got to make that step change into bringing those exponential costs down.
Just a question on that. You know, we're sitting in South Africa. I know over 50% of our audience is not in South Africa. But do you guys think from a governmental point of view we're ready for this change? Because, I mean, you know, certainly with Zuma losing moving out and the Zuma project failing,
I honestly believe that a new definition for the word change should be the fact that no one is ever ready for it. Like, you can never actually be ready for the change that is here. I mean, disruptive forces and technology enhancements and stuff. And
but let's look behind that.
But the big tanker that is government.
That's it.
The big tanker that is government has got too much to lose in order to affect anything fast enough.
Yeah.
That's where I fear it. So it's going to be, it's going to come like we consumer basis challenging faster supply chains and better ways of shopping. I mean, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, that weekend, we were all amazed at how the service crashed.
And you know what? It's still crashing, and it's not even Black Friday for
but
these oaks.
That becomes a pinch point. So yes, we've got great customer engagement from a banking perspective about getting people on board into getting bank accounts, getting banked. But then we've got a lot of e-commerce retail shops ramping up their servers, ramping up their bandwidth to make sure that they can actually service the amount and the volume of people coming through. It comes down to a transactional service now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's legacy infrastructure that hasn't been able to keep up with the fast change. So yes, it's great that from a mindset, we're ready for change. But if we don't actually acknowledge what needs to change and implement that change, we don't actually win.
I want to add something onto that, and that's the quality of the experience.
Quality of service,
You know, let's take a lot. I mean, they've really screwed this up completely. I mean, they crashed on Black Friday, and
364 days of the year they do fantastically.
No, I signed up with them the other day. I've never used them before, and their user experience, which might have been fine 2-3 years ago, is disgusting.
Yeah,
you know, and my expectation now as a consumer is I'm comparing the quality of Takealot's experience to everyone else, it's not very good, you know. And they tweet back and say they take my feedback seriously. Bullshit, man. You know, and the quality of the experience that connects to that is it's become a default.
I just on experiences, I do like Takealot. I haven't had a bad experience. I watched you go through that. Horrendous. But an organization that's starting to understand how important experience is across just not the digital space,
but channels,
into your entire channel space, whether it's physically in an airline seat, i.e. fly safe.
That's
guys.
Right. That's right.
Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I saw your tweet about that. It was great.
Their marketing campaigns, they sent me. So, you know, you sit down. I used to do this. I'm now an entrepreneur. I don't take holidays, but I used to literally sit down at the beginning of the year and say, well, what are the groups of holidays where I can book the most effective leave? And as I was thinking, oh, I'd usually do this, I got an email from them that listed exactly what days and specials and grouping. And I just started thinking, here's a brand.
Yeah.
It's doing it.
Beautifully South African.
They weren't always doing it.
Figuring it out.
They weren't always doing it. And I think that's, for me, is what's
But they're getting better, right? It's that iterative approach.
Continuously improving and, most importantly, understanding.
Mm. Yeah.
Understanding what is needed and delivering what is needed in order to serve your customers better.
So if we fast forward their world, it starts becoming very clear. We can very easily see that they're going to fill their seats. We can very easily see the next step for them is going to be artificial intelligence and how to improve their service stack. We can very easily see value-added services.
Yeah.
We can already see them growing their business exponentially.
Because it's easy.
Rest of South Africa. Why aren't we adopting? And I bet you go into FlySafe Air, like I think I've met a couple of the guys. I don't know them well. But I bet you go into their organization and you ask, where's your digital team? They'll go, well, we are digital.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, in China, they're just called Chinese food. At what point?
That's a beautiful
analogy. But at what point do we just stop calling everything digital?
Yeah, absolutely. Correct.
So like it's life. Come on, guys. In this new digital age, no. Today, we do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Stop blaming it on digital, because I think there's this mismatch of people say digital and they think Twitter. People say digital and they think social media all the time. And it's
a piece of string.
They think some sort of zit-ridden face fresh out of matric running a social media. And your qualification is because you're a millennial.
No. That's not a qualification.
Like, I'm wondering at what point we start to grow up as society and business.
You classified as a millennial, hey?
That awkward gap in the middle, that zennial.
So you don't quite know who or what you are.
No. So I'm that awkward age from the early 80s where you've lived through what a tape was and a CD and a Laserdisc and a Betacam. We've seen all of those things. So change is built in.
No, totally. Okay. So if we look at 2018... And let's just throw forward a bit here. I mean, it's a little bit early, but let's throw forward. I want to ask you guys, what do you see as the number one big thing that brands, businesses, and individuals as well, because it is actually about the individual. What's the big thing? That just the one idea that they need to adopt?
I want to pick the word growth. So we've spent the last 5 years shrinking as an economy. We've seen the last 5 years massive job losses, high unemployment. And we're going to have businesses that are running on marginal growth at the moment. Mm-hmm. So as these organizations want to now ramp up, they're not going to expand their cost bases. They are going to be focusing this year on using what they have to do a hell of a lot more. And I think there'll be this big drive on what does it actually take to operate in this new digital world.
So not 10%, but 10 times.
10 times.
Yeah. Okay.
That's exactly what I see.
So if I may just pull it into two parts, I agree with you. I think a lot of there is growth minded in how they do it, but how do I improve what I already do? Mm. But a standardized approach to doing it. How do I get the best bang for my buck every single time I want to do something? Mm. And I think that's up to supply chains and stuff. Everybody sort of, there's going to be a buckling down, But I think it's not going to stop the growth, because by buckling down, we can become more efficient with the things we already have.
Yeah.
We have to always find new things in our business. We just need to find new ways of working with them.
Yeah.
And by the way, even though there's a controlled cost, I think we're going to see an explosion in jobs. And when I say an explosion in jobs, it's going to be jobs that have a flavor of digital.
Yeah.
So people who are doing their creative jobs, learning how to code, all these things you can actually do for free online.
Yeah.
And then everyone's worried, oh, I'm worried about my certification. Guys, you do it online and you get an online certification. In today's world, that does the job, because people are looking for people who can do. Not necessarily people who have studied it and got a certificate and did it over 2 years. You come out of doing a MOOC of some sort, a Udemy, on any particular flavor, pick Python, pick a standard tool in the design sets.
Anything. Yeah.
The job space will explode this space.
Yeah.
And I've seen it already. Already in the last 3 years, it just hasn't been enough resource.
Yeah.
And all that's happened is anyone with skill is being paid an outrageous salary.
Yeah. And that's I think that's going to turn down as well coming forward. Yeah. I think there's going to be the salary hopping dev op person that's... Sorry, guys, I think the vacation's almost over. You can't keep jumping for higher salaries, because the next batch of amazing humans that are digitally minded from day one...
and ready to go.
No, they get it. They get it from day one. They've known nothing else. I mean, we're in 2018. In the year 2000, the workforce of today were born. Yeah. So if you talk about something that's new, we've got 18-year-olds that have been born in a digital millennium. And they get it. They get it like this.
No, totally. And in fact, I mean, it's a good point, because... my youngest son is in he's just gone into grade 5, and he had to get an iPad, and I was installing all of the apps onto his iPad last night. I mean, what this kid has got, you know, I mean,
technology covers everything we used to dream
of. We couldn't even fathom that.
No, we couldn't even fathom that. And I mean, just what
I couldn't even. I mean, that was a long time after you.
But what it will. Sorry, that just made me stop and think.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're on the cusp. I'm on the other cusp. I'm on the cusp. So yeah, I'm still under 50. So I'm still qualified.
So you saw it go from abacus to the digital.
That's right. Thing. Okay, cool. Right. You know what? I still remember my mom bringing back records. You know those big round things.
It's another reason why you don't wear socks. So you still have your toes accessible to count.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike still can't get used to not chipping into his tablet.
Yeah.
I can't chip that tablet.
You must see my iPad. I had to give it to the kids.
But that is a profound thing. I mean, we always talk about like the future of work and all that, and how do we equip children for a workforce we don't even know they're going to be a part of, or what does it mean and look like?
Sorry,
but the other side of what I think is going to happen, and what businesses are going to do this year, is they need to start focusing on the moment. Focus on the moments where experience happens.
Yeah, 100%.
Because
absolutely,
you can miss the point, but if you miss the moment, it doesn't matter at all. Actually, you've kind of gone and to your point, take a lot. They miss the moment with you. They missed the moment where they really could have helped you, and they shouldn't have to put you through 3 or 4 different layers of a call center before you find the help you need. You should be able to find that point of help at the point that you need it.
But you know what? It's deeper than that, though, Brett, because we're talking about customer experience, and this is not a new concept. I mean, when I started in marketing, the idea of customer experience was a non-existent idea. You know, just the user design. If these guys haven't sat down and looked at the flow of their usability, then they have missed the point. They don't need me to tell them that the user experience sucks. They should have a chief experience officer.
Yeah, developers. You know? But I think that developers and everybody that has anything to do with creating, say, e-commerce platforms or any sort of consumer engagement platform, they themselves are the users of their platform. Why do these dev guys always separate themselves from humanity and build little gray blocks and think...
We can ask Brett that question.
Well, if they all just read the effing manual, they'll know how to use it. No, we don't have to read a 9-page manual to figure out how your app works.
Well, I actually see the reason why is that...
Design thinking.
Exactly. So your designer and your developer are two very, very different skill sets.
Yeah.
And your designer is just plugged into empathy. Your developer is probably plugged into sympathy.
Well, practicality.
Yeah. Practicality. And the two worlds don't meet individually, but you smash the two worlds together.
And amazing things can happen.
Amazing things can happen. Yet, guys, I'm just been reviewing a number of different businesses' new structures. So I mentor a number of people, and I cannot believe, even in today's modern world, and some of these businesses are modern businesses, big corporates, are building old-fashioned, siloed organizational structures that are not going to talk to each other and are not going to give a flying shit about the customer. Mm-hmm.
No, totally.
So
totally.
It comes down to putting the right skills together. It comes down to wanting to move quickly and the organizational structure to enable that.
You know what I'm going to be fascinated to see is what Michael Jordan brings out with that banking app.
Agree.
It'll he's be very, very, very interesting because he's effectively run both sides of the equation here. Mm. That'll be a very interesting. And you know what? Even if it fails, it could be quite a defining point for how businesses behave. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I'm making a huge assumption.
The fact he went and got a license and then went and told the world about it.
Yeah.
I think
that's a good way to make it self-fulfilling prophecy is to just go out there and say, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. Correct.
And then,
totally.
And then follow the trend that goes. Mm-hmm. But I think to the end of 2018, I want people to start making more meaningful things. Don't just build a website because you think you need a website. Don't just build a platform because you think you need a platform. Actually understand what the end requirements are of what you're building. There are too many people selling tools as solutions, but I don't buy that. The digital tool is not the solution. The effective use of that tool is the solution.
Absolutely. It's the quality of the experience it creates.
And it's not just one technology that solves it.
100%. Correct. Absolutely. So don't worry about Python. AI will sort that out next year.
Correct.
Sorry. There you go.
Again, AI always seems like a really complex thing. But if I look at what's happened over the last year and the tool sets that are out there, anyone who's writing their own algorithms or even training their own machines these days is crazy, because South Africans haven't even tried to use these algorithms.
No.
But the world's moved so quickly that you can go into a free library of open sourced algorithms, pick what fits your business, and it'll have an exponential effect without any coding.
Without any coding.
I do have a query about AI, because this is going to be a big topic for 2018 and into the future, obviously, and there's going to be a lot more adoption of it. But we've always gone against
African intelligence, right?
So we've always gone against the Western world or the Eurocentric way of thinking and how it's forced upon us here. I mean, Google was a big sort of, when you were part of it, was a big part of saying, well, we've got to think African, think what it means to solve these problems. Don't tell us that what worked there will work here. If AI becomes a sort of cognitive thing for the global space or the global community, how does it discern the context within which we operate here in Africa? Unless we are actually a part of it.
And that's why machine learning is so important. So I spend so much time with organizations and I look at how their data is structured and fragmented. I'm just, the first step is get your data into one place because it's going to explode now. And yet no one has done it. You know, and then yet everyone wants to dabble and play in AI and say I'm doing it and tick a KPI.
Yeah.
Guys, it's no longer let's hope and pray that the stuff's going to happen. You've got to do it, and balls deep, right?
No, absolutely.
Or ovaries deep. Either way.
Yeah, either way.
Or is it the same thing? I don't know.
No, you're being balanced. There's no Me Too campaign going on here. But I think also to the question, Brett, so much is defined by the environment we live in, and you know, a fish doesn't know it's in water.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, you know, certainly a lot of corporate world.
We've got a lot of them trying to climb trees, though.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know what the answer is, because I think by the time the water's been changed, we're not going to be in a saltwater ocean anymore. No. We're going to be in a Mars, hyperlegicenic creator, whatever.
Don't worry about what liquid.
Yeah, no, but we don't. No, but it's so different. We don't know. You know. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it was. My son was bored, and I said to him, "Go get the Lego and go and build a karaka kachacha."
Oh, is it the Cronky Wonky?
The Cronky Wonky.
Have you seen that Lego? Go Google Lego Cronky Wonky. Just spell it however you want. It's flipping amazing.
And it's actually a very good point, because you know. And it was part of the BCX Disrupt.
Yeah, from
the
Silver Bower, yeah.
Yeah, and it was fascinating because no one knows what Cronky Wonky actually means. But, and I couldn't remember
6-year-olds
the word. 6-year-olds do. Give them a pack of Lego and they'll build you a Cronky Wonky. Yeah, and you know what? No Cronky Wonky is ever the same.
No.
But it makes absolute sense to those little 6-year-olds.
Yeah. Because they're unbridled by societal thought.
But you know what? My son brought me a karaka kacha.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I was like, awesome. That's fantastic.
It's purple, buddy. Hey?
It's just like, well done, my boy. You've got out of and stopped interrupting me for the last hour. So yeah,
I've googled it and really doesn't make any sense.
No,
that's the point.
You're too old.
That's the point.
So yeah. No, but there's great things happening, and I think when you're allowed to to make great things, and you
100%
open it up to other people to work with you. I think good things can happen. I think, but you always talk about the vertical versus horizontal. I'm hoping that a lot more businesses stop talking about that, or stop hearing about it at all these different seminars that they go to, and start actually doing it. I mean, I love going to Singularity, and I love going to the VCX and StrivCon, those big seminars that happen where thousands of people from different businesses are there. I love that they're there. What are you doing about it? What happens the day after?
It's not a half day or a day's break, right?
No, it's not. It's supposed to be inspiration.
Especially for the three of us. We worked our asses off at those.
Totally. 100%. So I just want to come back to a point you made. How do you think we're going to solve the unemployment situation in this country where we're sitting right now?
Because I think interview Cyril and ask him.
Yeah. No, but I you know, given where technology is, do you see this becoming a bigger issue or a lesser issue, specifically with the line of where technology is?
Well, so I still think we're going to see some traditional solutions to this. So technology is really, really good at fast-tracking things, but it's going to be hinged around some traditional kind of, shall I say, national development planning. And I think things like no water, awesome. I think like the sanity of our water, awesome. All of that is going to create massive job opportunities.
Innovation out of necessity.
And you know, this is highlighted that most townships don't have water.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to see is the government's going to have to start thinking about building at pace a serious amount of infrastructure that'll go into our economies, that will continue to drive jobs. Yeah. But I think we're going to be building stuff differently. And Dubai is a great example. Buildings are being built that are 100 stories high in 9 months. They're building 3.5 stories every 48 hours. You know, it's a different way and use of technology. So we always get caught up in the digital space, but this digital technology and thinking is rolling out into the physical space. So as long as, and guys, also again, I've spent a lot of time talking to various members in government and in councils, and even in the town councils, guys, are starting to realize their data centers that they run and operate really old-fashionedly. We just want to get rid of it. We want to put it in the cloud. We have so little resource.
Yeah.
We know we need to do it, and we are going to do it. But they're stuck in a lot of corporate compliance, governance, which is being put in place because there is no technology to manage the quality and services, which actually degrades the quality and services. So, guys, if you're out there in the world of corporate and compliance and risk, it's time for you guys to innovate.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think there's going to be a growth in the artisanal trades. Artisanal trades.
I'm kind of impressed.
I had to just figure out what the word was for a second.
And isn't it funny how man starts with beer?
Yeah, well, beer's a great way to start. I mean, it's a great way to start. It's a great way to end as well, because the beer's never tasted so good after a hard day's work.
No.
But there's this moving sort of revolution, if you will, of production at the point of consumption. And everybody's becoming a lot more aware of what it actually means. And where does my food come from? Yeah. Where does my food come from?
Has anyone seen Rotten?
Yes. Isn't it wonderful on Netflix?
Yes.
And how it gets broken so quickly by money.
Corporate greed.
Yeah.
But I saved that because I saw it come out.
Oh, it's wild. If you haven't seen it, Rotten on Netflix is definitely worth the watch.
You'll never eat chicken again. But
or garlic or honey. Yeah. But there's this idea that there's that type of stuff. So a lot of people doing sort of home growth and sustainable growth for themselves. But beyond that, there's also this need for a disconnect. We've gotten used to the fact that we are connected. We know we can get connected. But you start paying a bit more attention to, you know, that wooden table that was crafted. Yeah. Like I want, but it's become more than just a table because it's a story. Everybody will walk and be like, wow, you don't have a touchscreen table in your house. How odd. You're the CEO of a Google Cloud company. Why don't you have all this cool tech? It's like, to be honest, you need a point where you walk in and be like, that table is from refurbished pallet wood.
Because our margins are so small.
Absolutely.
Sorry. Hey? It's because our margins are so small.
No, totally.
So for now. Wait.
But it is interesting because I think you make a very good point. I mean, I just to interject, Brett.
Sorry. No, it's fine.
I went through my phone and I was like, this is no longer a time sucker. It's now a productivity tool. And I deleted all social media, all email, you know, anything that...
I wish you'd delete WhatsApp and my number in particular.
But people are going to make those choices. No. People are going to make these choices. I mean, Facebook has seen it.
You've broken my phone.
So Facebook has come out and said that they're going to start pushing less sponsored and business-focused messaging into people's personal news feeds. And they've said, listen, we're probably going to see a drop-off, but we're seeing a drop-off anyway. We're seeing a drop-off because the news feeds aren't what people were there to see in the first place.
Yeah, it's a reflection of reality.
So, yes, we'll lose people, but will we get better quality over the lesser quantity?
What are you excited about?
I'm excited because, you know, you've nailed it. So, like, even the Google saw that there were going to be ad blockers and 25% of traffic was going to go. And it was all about relevance. And all these big businesses are talking, that's okay. And they know it's okay because they'll just push their margins up. Mm. And the business will struggle to get the reach they want. But what they will get is a relevant audience. Okay?
Yeah.
My big kind of prediction is... I think the advertising world is in for a complete shakedown in the in the next year or two.
There we go. You found it. There we go. Absolutely.
Well, advertising's going to have to catch a wake-up.
They're going to have to catch a wake-up. You know,
it's too transparent these days.
No, but it's broken. I mean,
it's broken. You know? Google and Facebook own over 50% of all the media.
No, totally.
I mean, if you're not in that game, I would hate to be playing in the game if I wasn't in a Google or Facebook.
And if you're in traditional media... I mean, they've screwed the margin so badly, and brands are demanding the best, but they're paying the least.
Yeah,
you know, it's broken.
So, I had a conversation with some agency guys and about a client campaign they wanted to run one of their products, and it was, we need to get these social influencers in that meet the market because we want to talk to the people that follow them.
Yeah,
this is what the influencer is about. We've got someone that's got 2 million followers. We've got another person that's got 400,000 followers. Let's bring them to our event. They'll tweet the influence that they have. Will then give us the message. The problem they're having is that these influencers will go to their event this weekend, but go to the competitor's event next weekend. And then you have to remind these brands and these traditional agency thinking that they're not brand ambassadors.
No, they're just Twitter.
You don't pay them to be a brand ambassador. And even if you did, they wouldn't do it because their power is in the influence.
Totally.
And you've got to look at influence like a conduit for communication. It's just a new way of reaching a market.
I saw a beautiful story about this. In fact, Mike Saunders actually put it on LinkedIn. It was about a young girl, 22-year-old, in I think it was Ireland, Dublin.
Yeah.
Got hold of this lovely hotel and said, listen, I'd like to come and spend a night for free, and I'll tweet out my experience. And the guy who owned it said, no, if you want to come, you pay. And then she went on a bit of a social campaign against this hotel. Yeah. Did you see the story?
No, but I can imagine what happened.
So, you know, they embraced the campaign, and
her hashtag was viral.
No, but then he sent her, the guy who owned the hotel sent her an invoice for £4.6 million.
Damages?
For all the publicity she generated for herself by attacking their brand. I thought it was fantastic. So instead of
they sent her an invoice
for publicity, a PR invoice. They said, you've used us to drive your brand.
I'd love to see that lawsuit work.
Yeah, no, the idea of what he's done is he said, no, wait, hang on, piss off. Just because you've got a whole lot of Twitter followers doesn't mean you can now come and start abusing us because we haven't done what you've said. You've turned us into your own PR strategy.
It's like a toddler throwing a tantrum in a chocolate aisle.
But you've turned us into your PR strategy, and therefore we will invoice you for PR generated £4.6 million.
Sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Oh. But it's close to it. But you know what? Good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic response.
Take a lot.
You can't take that away, though.
Take a lot. Mike's number is...
But I think one of the things that's happening in the hyper-connected space is that once something is out, it's out.
It is.
Absolutely. It's done. I mean, yeah, they can go for financial damages or whatever. What does that mean?
No, they weren't going for the damages.
Proving the point, yeah.
They were just saying, wait a minute, you've been a dick.
Yeah.
And the moral of the story is don't be Donald Trump.
Yeah.
There we go.
If you want to make coffee, don't put the button next to the nukes.
But, yeah, that's a different time. Yeah. No, it's a different type of disruption we're talking about, yeah.
But I think that's... there's a lot of this is... We're all still trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of guys that are happy to try and innovate and to try and push the boundaries and to try and do things. But at a certain point, you can't appease the spoilt tantrum-driven Twitter influencer.
No, totally.
You know what I mean? Just because you don't like it. Because at that point, you're not a Twitter influencer. You're just a troll.
You're just a troll. 100%. That's what you've become.
And I think that there's possibly going to be that. We're going to see a lot more of the name and shame, which kind of sucks. But you know, it's going to backfire on the people that have the influence.
No, totally. Absolutely. But I think, you know what, Brett, I think, you know, everything is changing. The speed of change is going faster. We keep talking about this exponential curve. Yeah. And you know, it's a question of we've actually got to change our thinking right now.
Yeah.
And that's because, you know what, when we look at it, time exists right now. Mm. That's all you have. Mm-hmm. You know, if I ask you what the time is, it's now.
Yeah.
And when if I ask you in 5 minutes' time, it's still now.
And you can't put what was done in the past back in toothpaste out the tube.
What's the time,
we've got Rich? Two philosophers.
We've all learned from each other, and there's all a little bit of each of us in each of us. Oh, that sounds weird.
It's a hair past a freckle.
But it's still now. Yeah, so you've got to change your thinking now.
Oh, yeah, that's actually, maybe you've summed up South Africa perfectly, right? Because in South Africa, it's always just now or now.
Yeah. Happy new now. Happy new now.
New now.
Yeah, so speaking of which, it's 10 minutes to then.
So if we're talking about future, and, maybe we
right
should,
now.
Let's rebrand the show to now. Now.
Now, now.
Or just now.
So while we've got...
that's lovely.
While we've got the Futurology show, not the Nowology show.
No, the now show.
The now show.
But just now.
Then.
Okay.
Okay.
Done.
So in the next 10 minutes, let's talk about the future of the Futurology show. Things are going to be changing here for the Futurology show and Cliff Central. We've had a great opportunity to be able to talk to all of you guys and talk to each other and explore some really great things that are moving the future. But that's all going to change for a bit. We all have to pursue, you guys are working on the Think Digital. We're actually going out there and it requires focus and time. I'm starting Human Impact Project on the back of it as well.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
There are an archive of tremendous wealth of information and interviews that we've spoken to some tremendous people.
Absolutely.
Still available on podcast. So next week will be, unfortunately, for now.
Now.
The last Futurology show for a while.
Yeah.
So tune in for next week where we will be talking about the future of now.
Now.
But then. And we'll see how it goes. But we want to thank all of our listeners for thing. I've thoroughly enjoyed having you guys on.
56 shows or something.
Well, that's it. I mean, we had the show and it's evolved. It's evolved. I mean, we called the 2017 Futurology show the Futurology show version 3.0 because now there were three co-hosts. Oh. And that all started because you guys were guests and I was late. And I was a guest originally.
I was just going to say, because I think it's the funniest story.
From my sweaty, panting moment running upstairs to...
Is Dory around? Because I remember chatting and we didn't know who she Dory. Was at the time. And it's like, we'll only start panicking at 5 minutes past 12. And you and I wound up hosting a show as the guests.
I'll always remember sitting there looking at Mike with a slight bead of sweat.
Yeah.
Because we knew Brett's the expert at this. And as Dory said, okay, you're live, I point to Mike. Go.
Yeah, I think that's even in the recording.
Yeah.
So if you go back to the original one where you guys were billed as guests.
Yeah.
That was good fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So to our point, I mean, some things change overnight and some things change over a decade.
Yeah.
But over the last year, I mean, we've seen the ratings. I mean, thank you to the listeners. I mean, we've had great listeners and great subscriptions, great rating on the podcast.
Guys, sometimes I'd like to top number two on iTunes.
For the tech show?
In the tech space. Totally. I mean, just second to, what's it, TED NPR.
Yeah. Most probably because of our guests.
Thank you.
No, totally.
Our guests. I mean, so guys, thank you. We really appreciate it.
It's not fat boys' good looks.
No. And I think the wonderful thing, all the fact that I never ask a question, but and the fact that you have a chest for radio as well, which is wonderful.
That's awesome.
I'm actually sitting here with no t-shirt on. I'm sitting here with just my jeans on.
Still says I'm a classic.
It has been fun, and I think we're not stopping. I mean, there's a lot of podcasts and stuff in us. We're just moving the stream into it. It'll probably be less frequent.
Yeah.
The at handle on Twitter is still going to continue. Yeah, so same. At Futurology Show is still going to be there. We're also very active on our own Twitter accounts and all that. And Brett, you're doing talks. You're a lot active.
Yeah.
This year.
So guys, I'm doing a million talks. I'm even trying to play around with doing a course,
as the WTF Think Digital,
Think Digital. So again, I'm sure a lot of you guys were involved in that. We've already
crowdsourced course building. It's brilliant.
Close to 200,000 views, and
it's absolutely been amazing.
And people have helped build their own course and what they need.
There's definitely a need for it, and if you guys are answering that need, then it's a great thing. So.
Yeah,
all the best with that. That's what's going to be good, and we'll touch base. I mean, WTF is going to have their podcast as well. That'll come out through the website.
Do live casts,
and we'll do live casts and all those things. But
That was funny. Yeah.
Once again, thank you guys for being guests way back when. Thank you for standing in for me, and thanks for being the best co-hosts a guy could have on a podcast.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Brett.
And on that note, we will see you next week. For the last time, we will see you next week.
For the last time.
Yes.
This has been the Futurology Show. Cheers.
Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.